Mr. Magnum's going to sing for you right now. I want you to warm your amens up tonight. Some of you is here in body, but your mind somewhere else. I want you to warm your amens up. Let's warm ourselves up tonight. Let's worship God. Let's see what the Holy Ghost has for us tonight. Amen. God bless you.
You may think it foolish what I'm going to say, but I'm not ashamed. No, I'm not ashamed. One day I prayed, Jesus, take my sins away. And that's the day I was born again. Born again, there's really been a change in me. Born again, just like Jesus said. Glad that I've been born again. One man came to Jesus, John in chapter 3, and he was so afraid, yes, so afraid. Master, you're from God, I really do believe. And Jesus said, be born again. Oh, born. Change in me. Born again, just like Jesus said. Born again, and all because of Calvary. I'm glad, so glad that I've been born again. I'm born again, there's really been a change in me. Born again, just like Jesus said.
I'm going to refer to this one more time, and I promise you I'll stay off of it if possible for the rest of the camp. But it was my privilege on that Easter Sunday to go with Sister Mangan. I know you're going to think I'm crazy, and probably a lot of our ministers are going to think I'm crazy. But I went to school, and it was my privilege to go into the delivery room with my wife. And there I saw the most beautiful thing that ever happened, and that was God and nature take its course. Of course, when the doctor and God delivered that little baby, and she began to cry. Such a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful sight. She began to look for her mother, and I began to look at her, and my old smile was from ear to ear. Joy was in my heart because I'd been praying for a girl, and sure enough, we had a girl. Then the doctor took the clip, and bam, there was a separation made. And suddenly, the smile left my face, and tears began to roll down my cheeks. And for the first time, the responsibility dawned on me. That's my daughter. Her name is Michael Antoine Mangan. But she was born a sinner. And when she was separated from her mother, no matter if she is my daughter, no matter if she is beautiful, Paul said she will be sanctified unto the age of accountability because of her mother and her father. There's a rapture tonight. Sister Mang and I are counted worthy to make it. Michael will make it because she's sanctified by her parents. But when she reaches the age of accountability, wherever one of you are at in this auditorium, those of you that stood tonight, listen to my message before she sings another song to you tonight. I'm here to tell you, I don't care if you're a Mangan daughter, a Lumpkin daughter, a Shields daughter, or whoever daughter or son you may be, you were still born a sinner. You were shaped in iniquity. And you've got to be born again. And it dawned on me that day that, friend, no matter how pretty or whose name or what daughter it may be, she was still born a sinner. And I've got to pump it in her. That's why those of you that don't have the Holy Ghost, let me tell you, I would not leave this service tonight so that I could enjoy the rest of this camp. I would not leave this service tonight until I have been baptized with the Holy Ghost. Ever speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gives you the utterance. Before I preach tonight, I'm going to ask Sister Mangan to preach to sing my subject that I'm going to preach on tonight. Take me back. Take me back to the place where I first found you, Lord. Take me back to that spot where you and I had an encounter. God bless you.
Take me back. Take me back, dear Lord, to the place where I first received you. Take me back. Take me back, dear Lord, where I first believed. Take me back. Take me back, dear Lord, to the place where I first received you.
Take me back, dear Lord, where I first
35th chapter. Genesis, the 35th chapter. Genesis, the 35th chapter. And God said unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there. Make there an altar. Now, doesn't that sound familiar? Youth Camp 1977. First night, Sunday night, we preached to the center. Monday night, the first official night of youth camp was build an altar. Amen? How many remember that? And God said unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appear unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you. Be clean, change your garments, and let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God who answered me in the day of my distress and was with me in the way which I went. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hands, all their earrings which were in their ears, and Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them. And they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. So Jacob came to Luz, which is in the land of Canaan, that is Bethel, and he and all the people that were with him. And he built there an altar and called the place Bethel, because there God appeared unto him when he fled from the face of his brother. The 13th verse says, and God went up from him in the place where he talked with him. Let's sing it again, Sister Mangan.
Take me back.
Take me back, dear Lord, to the place where I first received you. Take me back. Oh God. Take me back, dear Lord, where
tonight, Lord. I ask you to move on these young people in a very special way. God, I ask you not to just open their minds tonight, but I ask you to open their hearts, Jesus. God, speak to them. Let your call go forth. We're going to give you the praise, and everybody said amen. You may be seated. Take me back. Everybody, point to yourself and say, take me back.
Take me back.
Take me back. Don't take my church back. Don't take my parents back. Take me back. That's the theme that I will deal with tonight. Take me back. Now, this is a very familiar subject, and familiarity breeds content. By that, you hear a story over and over, and it will become very common to you. But tonight I want to take this very beautiful story, and I want us to go back to some things that we have made to God. I believe God has allowed us to look at Old Testament saints because He knew and because He had the foresight that there would be so many of us that would have a life very similar to those Old Testament saints. I am very thankful that God has given us a panoramic view of the life of Jacob. Because if it would not be for the life of Jacob and the different paths he walked down, but yet he always having the ability to walk back to Bethel. If it would not have been for that particular story, there would be many of us tonight that would be in discouragement. There would be many of us tonight without hope. I look at Jacob, and when you look at Jacob, you look at a deceiver. I am not going to deal with his life in depth because most of you know his story very, very plain. But we do know that Jacob deceived his brother Esau. We know that he in turn deceived his father Isaac. When he went in and he put the hair on his arm and his father blessed Jacob, he was supposed to be blessing Esau. Then Jacob knew when Esau came home that he was going to have to flee for his life. We find Jacob away from home his very first night. He finds himself on a place there of flat ground. There he lifts up his head and he begins to pray, and after prayer he lays down and goes to sleep. That night God gives him a dream, and he sees a ladder into heaven, and he sees angels ascending and descending. And there he knows that God has a very, very special blessing in store for him. When Jacob awakes the next morning, he realizes that the place where he has been, the presence of God has been there. So Jacob, the first thing he does is he begins to make vows. He begins to make promises. He begins to lay out what he wants to do for God. And I was searching the Bible today, and I believe for my small enhancement of the Bible, I believe that is the first vow that was made in the Bible. Jacob said, God, if you will bless me, I will give you a tenth of everything that I have. I know last youth camp was a very, very powerful youth camp. I know that God met us in a very, very special way. I'll never forget on Monday night when we preached on the altar, how some of you wallowed in your tears, how some of you turned this carpet into sawdust, and you began to seek the face of God. I remember some of you young men. I know your faces. I know you personally. How you banged the altars. You made some vows. You made some promises. You made some pledges to God. You said, God, if you will bless me, I am going to use the altar. When I get home, when I get back to my church, I'm going to be a better prayer warrior. I'm going to be a better soul winner. I'm going to be a better young person for my pastor to pastor. You made some vows to God. But it didn't take Jacob very long. Jacob left that place and he headed to the land where that his uncle was, Laban. There he met a lady that he wanted to marry. Her name was Rachel. He told Laban he would work for her. Laban said, you work 7 years and I will give you Rachel. He worked 7 years and Laban gives him Leah. But a week later, he gives him Rachel. But because of him giving her that, he must pay the debt of 7 more years. So it ended up 14 years of working so that he could marry his bride by the name of Rachel. It didn't take that deceiver very long. That's what his name was, Jacob. It means a swindler and a deceiver. It didn't take him very long, so he was back to his deceiving and cutting ways. He deceived his father-in-law. He got his idols. He got his gold, he got his cattle, he took some of his handmaidens, and he got his daughters, and he left the countryside. Yes, we know how that Laban runs him down, searches the tents, and tries to find. But Jacob and his daughters deceive his own father-in-law. Here they are dwelling in their tents, but something happens to Jacob. There is word that gets to him that his brother Esau, that he had deceived a number a days ago, was coming after him, and he had 400 men. It was not time then for a beautiful prayer. It was time for him to touch God. So he went by a river named Jabba, and there by that river he began to touch God. He put his family away. He put his cattle away. He went there all by himself. And it was at that place where he began to touch God. It was at that place, you hear me tonight, he had his 1977 youth camp. He made some vows to God. He made some promises to God. He told God what he was going to do if he would bless him. It was at that time that he had that wrestling match where the the angel of God came down and touched his hip and knocked it out of joint. And from that day on, he had a different walk. He had a different way about him. But even after that, when he goes and he meets his brother Esau, and God works out the blessing, whether Esau receives him and whether Jacob receives Esau, they exchange their kind words. They pat each other on the back. Here Jacob had the promise of all the land of Israel and Palestine. But even after all that, Jacob still is in his deceiving way. Instead of going on home with Esau, he deceives him. He breaks a vow again. And the Bible says he goes to the place of the uncircumcised Philistine, to a place called Shechem. And there he begins to take his abode completely the will of God. The Bible says that he paid 100 pieces over for a little parcel of ground that was down in Shechem. But when he got to Shechem, he forgot about all the vows and about all the promises and about all the talk that he made to God, the things he was going to do, the things that were going to be accomplished. Here he was, a son of the promised seed of Abraham, living amongst a bunch of uncircumcised Philistines in Shechem, because he forgot the vows he made. I am here tonight to preach to this youth camp. I know you. I've seen your faces. I'm telling you, last summer, some of you wept. Some of you cried. Some of you repented. Some of you sought God. Some of you ran these aisles. Some of you I prayed for and you fell out of the power. Some of you shook my hand on the last night with tears streaming down your face, saying, "Brother Mangan, I'll never be the same. I'm going to be different. This youth camp has changed my life." I am here to tell you, I saw some of you tonight. Your life has been changed. I can tell you've been praying. I can tell you've been fasting. I can tell you've been winning souls. And I'm so glad it's happened. I'm so glad it's happened. I can still see some of you. You've got revival in your soul. You've got revival bubbling from the depths. This young man still shouting that's on the front row. Nothing has stolen his shout. I'm so thankful for that. But I look at the majority of youth campers. When most of you were here last year, not only seeing you, I sense it in the Holy Ghost. Before I ever arrived on this camp, I've never preached this sermon in my life. They tell you you always ought to preach a sermon at camp meetings and youth camps or general conference. They say never preach a new sermon because you'll blow out on it. But I know what God has given me for this service tonight. And I'm coming here with a thought that I've never preached on in my life. But it's because in the early hours of prayer last week, God began to talk to me. He said there's going to be young people, the majority of them, that last summer in 1977, they made some vows. They made some promises. But now they're down in Shechem. They're living amongst the uncircumcised Philistines. They're not fulfilling their promises. They haven't been in prayer rooms. They haven't been in the altars. They haven't been winning souls. They haven't been praying. And they haven't been fasting. And when I walked in this service tonight, I realized that it's a completely different pace. Brother Clifford said it's like a church service. It is. But let me tell you, and they were wondering why maybe the top was not completely coming off tonight. I know why it wasn't coming off. Because I prayed. I don't want any shouting tonight. I don't want any aisle running tonight. Lord, if it's the Holy Ghost, yes, I'll be the first one to run. But it's time that some of you young people that made some vows and that made some promises, we don't need to hit another organ, another note on that organ. We don't need to sound another note on that piano until some of you that have broken your vow since last year, that you promised God you were going to do something for Him. You were going to change your life. And now you're back here, backslid. Some of you are lukewarm. Some of you are cold and indifferent. And unless we can get something through to you tonight, and you repent of your vows you made,
I'm telling you, like Brother Coker must have preached last night, you won't have very long to stay with us. When I get through preaching this sermon tonight, I know why I said what I said last year. I didn't know I would be coming back, but now I see why I said some of the things that I said. I am telling you that in a service like tonight, the strong get stronger and the weak get weaker. And we are in a time where that God is purging His church and where that God is giving it a purging like it's never had a purging. I am here to tell you He's not coming back for a bunch of lukewarm, half-backslid young people that's got their mind on Shechem, that's got their mind on the pleasures of this world. He's not coming back for young people that's tied down with this world. He's coming back for a group of people that's got their eyes looking for Him, that's making themselves ready. My job that I've got to do tonight is I've got to get you young people that I prayed for last year, that I fell in love with you, that you ran these aisles, that you made some promises to God. I've got to get you out of Shechem, and I've got to get you going back to Bethel where the promises of God are. It didn't take very long. It was in Shechem. It didn't take him very long to run into problems. And you let me tell you, that's all you're going to have. You're borderline cheats. You're half in and half out of the church. You're not going to have nothing but problems. Nothing's going to work out. It wasn't long until those uncircumcised Philistines raped his daughter. And because they raped his daughter, it turned his sons against them. They began to have war. They began to go after one another. And it was then that Jacob resolved in his heart. He says, my God, I've made some vows. I've made some promises. I've made some pledges. I told God I was going to do something, and I haven't done it. He said, I've got to go back to Bethel. I've got to get back to Bethel. The second verse of the 35th chapter says, then Jacob said unto the household, and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garment. Tonight I'm telling you, I believe that I can get you to go back to Bethel tonight. This youth camp is at a point. It has reached a point to whether it's going to move on from here or it's going to go back from here. And my personal feeling is, this is going to be the greatest youth camp that the district has ever seen. I don't believe last year's camp is either going to be a drop in the bucket to what we're going to see, the way God is going to bless, the miracles that are going to be wrought, and the power that is going to be poured out. But it will never happen till I get you tonight to go back to Bethel. Look what Bethel is. I want to preach to you just a few minutes. You don't realize what you're missing. So many people say, well, I tell you, I just get so discouraged in the church. I just can't hardly make it through school. I look at this and I look at this. Friend, I don't look at nothing. I want you to know I wouldn't trade places with a backslider or a sinner for nothing in all the world. There is nothing like being a part of the church of the living God. He says, well, you can't do this and you can't do that. Hey, don't you feel sorry for me? I don't want you feeling sorry for me tonight, because the things that you're doing, I don't want to do in the first place. I feel sorry for you. You don't have the privilege of doing what I have the privilege of doing. I can get down on this altar and I can talk to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Hey, you talking about something. He knows my name. Not only that, He knows the number of hair that's on my head. Don't you feel sorry for me, friend. I'm a poor rich man that's endowed with the Holy Ghost, that's full of His power, and that's full of His anointing. Yeah, but you can't do this, and you can't. Don't feel sorry for me. I'm happy. I'm living at Bethel. And when you get to Bethel, that's where the promises of God are. So, tonight, we have to get to Bethel. The first thing at Bethel is, everybody say protection. Say it again. Protection. Jacob realized now that the war had started in Shechem, he knew to be protected. He had to get back to Bethel. The 30th verse of the 34th chapter, the chapter that preceded the 35th chapter, it says, ye have troubled me to make me to stink among the inhabitants of the land, among the Canaanites and the Perizzites. And I, being few in number, they shall gather themselves together against me and slay me, and I shall be destroyed. I and my house. Jacob was scared to death. He said in the 30th verse of the 34th chapter, he said, boys, I'm scared to death. The enemy is going to kill us all. We're outnumbered. There's no way we can have victory. But look, hallelujah, at the 35th chapter, when Jacob said in the second verse, it's time to bury the gods and it's time to go back to Bethel. You will find in the third verse, he said, and let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods. Then the fifth verse, they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the son of Jacob. When Jacob put it in his heart, hallelujah, and when Jacob established it in his thoughts, I am going back to Bethel. This book tells me that God paralyzed his enemies, and the cities round about had terror upon them, and they could not chase Jacob, even though they had him outnumbered, even though they wanted to destroy him. They could not get to Jacob. And brother, let me tell you something. When you get to Bethel, you don't have to worry about Slewfoot. You don't have to worry about if you can live for God. If you are living at Bethel, brother, he's got a fence built all around you. The devil may try to attack you. The devil may try to come against you. But if you're full of the Holy Ghost, that's been baptized in the name of Jesus, I'm telling you, my God's got power that can paralyze every devil and every demon that may try to attack you. Some of you need to realize the power that you have on the inside of you tonight. And if you would say, Brother Mangan, you campers, camp leaders, I'm going back to Bethel tonight. I promise you, God will fight your battles. God will take care of the devil. He will protection all around you. You won't have to worry about backsliding. You won't have to worry about being discouraged. You won't have to worry about being down in the dumps. But he's going back to Bethel. Let's go back to Bethel. Let's go back to Bethel. Now, why hasn't the power hit this place tonight? Why hasn't it been turned upside down? Because some of you are baptized with fear. You hadn't seen faith since last youth camp. Today in prayer I said, oh God, I want you to baptize us with a new baptism of faith so that we can believe in this youth camp. We're going to see the supernatural outpouring dynamic move of the Holy Ghost. But it's back at Bethel where you find protection. Then the second thing is the old pillar. That's where the very first night out from home, the Bible says he built a pillar, and there he called the place Bethel. That's where you find the old memories. There's where he had his outpouring. And he remembered that old moss-covered pillar back at Bethel. When he got back there, he began to uncover those blessings. I was listening tonight as Sister Mangan sang that verse. I wasn't even planning on her singing that. But it made such an imprint on my mind, I never related it to the sermon tonight. But it said, let those memories keep on drawing me. Lord, let them get a hold of me. I thought again of last youth camp. I wish it would get a hold of some of you tonight. The vows you made, the promises you made, the things you told God you were going to do. I wish tonight you would go back. You would remember how you were slain under the power of God. How that God dealt with you. How that God reached for you. How that God bankrupt every resource to try to change you. I hope before this night is over, everything in this building has been talking in tongues, repenting, saying, Brother Mangan, I'm going back to Bethel and I'm going to change my life again. Not only did he find his memories, not only was there protection, but there was the princeliness. When he went to Jabbok by the river there, when he arrived there, the Bible said, God changed his name. He changed his name from Jacob to Israel, which means the Prince One. His name was changed. Do you realize what happened to you when you took on the name of Jesus? When you were full of the Holy Ghost? Now I just don't refer to Youth Camp 77. I refer to the night that you made an agreement with God when you told him, I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. The most beautiful book in the Bible, the book of Ruth. Whether thou goest, I will go. Do you remember when you said, God, I want you to be my bridegroom, and I want to be your bride. Night 2, Youth Camp 77, Jose and Gomer. Do you remember it? I'm taking you through last youth camp. Do you remember it? Do you remember the vows you said? Lord, I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. Have you forgotten your love affair? How have you handled his name this year? How have you used his name? Have you walked around with your head down? Does anybody know you're a Pentecostal? Does anybody know you've been baptized in Jesus' name? Does anybody know you've got the Holy Ghost? How have you worn his name? But if you get back to Bethel, you will see when you got baptized, you had your name changed. You were born again. There was a second birth. You're not your own. You are bought with a price. You carry his name. If we can get back to Bethel, we'll become a bunch of people that's proud of the name of Jesus, that we've been baptized in it, that we're living a godly and holy life. Not only at Bethel do you find the protection. Not only at Bethel do you find the memories. Not only at Bethel do you find the beautiful princeness, but also at Bethel you find his promises. That's why some of you stay discouraged. That's why some of you can't live for God. And I tell you, if it wouldn't be for my Holy Ghost tonight, I'd be awfully upset. You say, why, Brother Manning? Because some of you have disappointed me so bad. Adults, you'll just have to close your ears right now. Some of you have disappointed me so bad. I was counting on Arkansas, and I know they have. But I was counting on this youth group to give this district the greatest revival they ever had. I honestly, maybe my faith was too high. Maybe I'm too crazy. Maybe I'm too wild. But I was expecting to hear how revival broke out in high schools. I was expecting to hear how y'all were having street services and people was getting the Holy Ghost on the street. I was excited to hear about the pastor having to sit you down because you wanted to shout or you wanted to pray. I was just waiting to hear that. But there were very few reports that ever arrived at Dallas. Maybe I wasn't close enough in contact with you, but I'm sure if there would have been an overrun of revival, like I thought and like I envisioned when I left here that Friday night, I believe it would have arrived. I actually thought, I'm disappointed. I asked Brother Thomas the first thing I asked him. Brother Lumpkin, I said, how many's enrolled? He said, about the same numbers last year. I said, oh no! What's wrong? I was expecting 800 to be enrolled because I saw 300 kids at least walk to the front of that altar and say, I'm going to win me a soul. Why don't they have that soul with them? Why don't they have that soul at camp with them? We've got the same number enrolled tonight that we had last year. It doesn't look like we had much of a revival. It doesn't look like my poor little preaching did very much good. It doesn't look like your vows carried you very far. I'm hitting you hard on the first night, but it's because I love you. We'll shout the other night, but I've got to get you out of Shechem. Let me tell you why you hadn't. Because you're living in Shechem. That's why you can't stay prayed through. That's why you backslide when school started. I doubt some of you even lasted 3 months. I doubt I had the pastor stand, and I'm almost embarrassed. I walked out on a limb. I pointed my finger at those folks over there. Now they ought to stand up and laugh at me. They ought to point their finger. I said, y'all had it. I said, your young people's coming home and putting you to shame. The young people went home and must have went to sleep. You can't live for God in Shechem. You hear Brother Mangan tonight? You'll never make it with worldliness locked in your heart. You'll never have revival in your church like you're supposed to have. That's what I'm telling you didn't happen. You'll never have revival like you ought to have. And until you get every bit of that mess washed out of you, and until you sell out to God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, we'll never have what God wants us to have. It's got to happen to us. But that's the reason why you backslide. Because at Bethel are His promises. And you know what His promises say? See, you don't have His promises. That's why you can't live for God. His promises is, and we quote it. What? And you finish the scripture. Greater is He. Yeah, so you can quote it. But we don't receive that promise. Why? Because we're living in Shechem. And in Shechem, you don't have that promise. If thou canst believe, all things are possible. Woo, isn't that great? No, it ain't worth a flip if it's coming from Shechem. You don't get none of that with half world and half church. For you to receive the blessings of God, you've got to get back to Bethel. You've got to get back to a vow. You've got to get back to promises. You've got to get back to repentance. Oh, God. You've got to get back to the vows you made last year. And instead of it just being words, it's going to have to say it from your heart instead of from your vocal cords. Let's praise God. You got His promises. Oh, I wish I had time to preach on the promises of God. I wish I could show you how beautiful it is to live for God when you sell out. You say, well, it's just too hard. Sure it's hard when you got half Shechem and half Bethel. But it's easy when you're living in Bethel. Because you got His promises. They are yea and amen. In Him there is no barrier to see the shadow of turning. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He said, I'll go with you all the way to the end of the world. He said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible. Greater works than these shall you do, because I've gone to my Father. You know all those. Don't you remember those? He said, I'll do above all that you can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in you. Don't you know they belong to us? If we'll get to Bethel tonight, you'll have those promises living in your life. And there'll be a shout and there'll be a praise in your soul. At Bethel, you find His promises. At Bethel, you find His name. At Bethel, you find memories. And at Bethel, you find protection. Last but not least, and the fifth point that I bring to you, as at Bethel, you have a prayer life. Altar. You remember the altar? You remember what I told you? You don't have a right to sing. You don't have a right to do anything until, first of all, you do what? Stop at the altar. Verse 13 of the 35th chapter. When Jacob got back to Bethel, it says, and God went up from him in the place where he talked with him. When you're at Bethel, you have the privilege of talking to God on first name basis. Bethel. Prayer, memories, promises, protection,
Who don't want that?
How many, if you don't want that, now listen to what I'm saying. If you don't want that, you don't want His protection. You don't want His promises. You don't want His name. You don't want His memories. You don't want the privilege to talk to Him through prayer life. You don't want that. You don't want that. Would you raise your hand? No, I didn't figure anybody in this congregation would be that dumb. Even the rankest sinner would at least want His protection. But where do you get that? Could you tell me? I've told you for the past 45 minutes. Could you tell me? Where is it? Louder. One more time. If the cause of a thing determines its value, everything has a cost. Everything has a cost. Before you buy a pair of blue jeans, boys, before you buy a dress, girls, the first thing you look for before you ever try them on is how much does it cost? Brother Mangan is not a preacher that lies. And I don't know any near me that lies. For anyone to tell you it doesn't cost something to live for God, they are not telling you the truth. It does cost something to live for God. Everybody that heard me stand up, youth campers, you may be seated. I had to get that point across. It does cost something to live for God. Say that with me. It does cost something to live for God. But it costs much, 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 much more to live for the devil. It does cost something to be saved. But it costs a whole lot more to be lost. Hear me tonight. It costs something to be saved. But it costs a whole lot more to be lost. So Bethel, promises, memories. You may not remember nothing else I preach, but you're going to remember this simple sermon tonight. Because God has awakened me for the past week with this little old simple thought. I'm going to drive it home. And if some of you are still lost, you're not going to be lost because of Brother Mangan, nor because of this youth camp staff. You're going to be lost because you did not have volition and the will to leave Shechem and get back to Bethel. His protection, His promises, His memory, His name, and His prayer is back at Bethel. How many wants to go there? But the journey is not without a cost. The journey to Bethel is not an easy journey. We're not getting ready. That's what we did last year. And I'm going to hit you as hard as I'm going to ever hit you in this youth camp. We're not going to have sobbing around here tonight for just to be sobbing. There's going to be a whole lot of tears shed. But those of you that want to pray just to be praying, you're going to kneel between your pews tonight. Because when you come to the front of this altar tonight, and you've got the Holy Ghost, and you've been baptized in Jesus' name, this is all in the Holy Ghost. I'm doing it right now. Brother Thomas, I want you to get me a cross made tomorrow. I tell you what, we'll just take a sheet of paper. Get me a notebook of paper. I'm going to get some signatures. I'm tired of people saying what they're going to do and not fulfilling their vow. I'm taking that tablet to Dallas with me. And I'm going to pray over it. And I'm going to ask God that every name that's in there to make soul winners out of you. I'm going to beg God to make sure you've got your life ready when the trump of God sounds. This 1978 youth camp, it's going to be great. It's going to be fantastic. But we're not just going to make vows this youth camp. We're going to fulfill the things that we told God we were going to do. We're going to do it. I am convinced God called some of you boys to preach last year, and you ain't had the guts to realize it. I'm convinced that God called some of you to be missionaries, and you're living in Shechem tonight. I am convinced that God called some of you to be the leader of your church, and you're here tonight, and I can't even get you to clap your hands. And if you think it's bad, Brother Lumpkin, you wait the next year if the Lord don't come. I pity the poor fella that has to preach the youth camp next year if these young people make vows. That's why the service has been so dead tonight. God's displeased with us. We made vows. We made promises. Oh, God, we still is going to do. And today we're sitting here, half backslid, lukewarm, cold and indifferent. But tonight I promise you, those that come to this altar, you're going to see some change, young people, before this camp is over. Because I told God, if they come, save them or separate them. It's time for us to get to the nitty gritty. Okay, Brother Mangan, I want to go back. Lord, I've done been preaching way too long. I apologize, but I've got probably another 4 hours. Thank you, brother. You need to be in youth camp. They're dead on tonight. They'll come alive in a minute.
God give him strength right now in his body. Oh, Lord God. You use him, Elder Samoshi. You use him, Makaliatara.
Let's praise him. Thank you much, and you may be seated. How many will allow me to preach to you tonight? How many will allow me to preach to you? Can I see your hands? How many want me to preach to you tonight? How many want me to finish this sermon tonight? The journey to Bethel is not an easy journey. If you want His promises, here we go. If you want His name, if you want your old memories, if you want your prayer life, and if you want His protection, the second verse is the key to getting back to Bethel. Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods. Put away their strange gods.
left the arm plate. They took off all their earrings. You see, when they left Laban, when he left his father-in-law, his daughters, Jacob, they stole the golden images. They stole the earrings. They stole the idol God that they were worshiping down there. And they brought them back with him. And before Jacob knew what was on his hands, he had his sons, his daughters, and kinfolks worshiping idols, worshiping images, worshiping things that were not God's. So before he could get back to Bethel, he said, bury the strange gods. Tie a yellow ribbon round the old oak tree. Bury them under the oak tree and leave them in Shechem. Last year, what happened to some of you? You tried to go to Bethel with your earrings, with your images, with your God, and it won't work. Jacob said, we are going to worship God. They said, amen. But he said, we're going to bury the idols. Because Jacob knew human nature. If they could just put them over in their briefcases, or if they could just keep them and put them in their china closet, or if they could just put them in the drawer, or if they could just do a little bit of it and not do a whole lot of it. And before they knew what would happen to them, you cannot play with fire. That's why Solomon said in the writings of Ecclesiastes, you can't take fire into your bosom and expect not to get burnt. You can't walk across coals and expect your feet not to burn. I am telling you, church, I am telling you, young people, before you reach the 78th Youth Camp blessing, you're going to bury your idols and your God that you are putting ahead of him. I tell you what we need tonight. Consecration service, yes. A bonfire. Write things on the soul in there, yes. We need a burial service tonight. It's time you find your old tree. It's time you get your Baal gods, your Dagon gods, your working job. I had to preach on it in Plano last Wednesday night. Some young people taking two or three jobs during the summer, missing church, not being faithful to the house of God. It'll never last. You had better pull down every god that you've got in your mind. You better worship the one true Jehovah God, whose name is Jesus, or you'll never make it back to Bethel. I come to you tonight. You better get rid of your strange gods, gods that don't belong in your life. You had better wash them away. He said, get rid of your strange gods. Then the next part of that second verse says, put away the strange gods that are among you and be pleased. Give me a clean heart, O Lord. Renew in me a right spirit. Do you know strange gods separate you from going to heaven? Now I'm preaching to young people that's got the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name that's going to be lost because you won't bury your strange gods. I may preach all the sermons I got tonight. We may shout the rest of the night. Because if I can get done tonight what the Holy Ghost is trying to do in this congregation right now, it'll be worth shouting over for the next four nights. There are 12 sons of Jacob. Now, I know people think I'm crazy tonight preaching.
I'm in between a Bible study and a youth camp sermon and a Wednesday night study. But it's going to be okay when we end up, you believe me. Because the Holy Ghost has, I don't know what we're going to do the next four nights, but the Holy Ghost has given me assurance where we're going tonight. There are 12 tribes, 12 sons of Jacob that I've been preaching about. You can go to the book of Revelation. Don't let me bog your mind because my preaching is so shallow you can't get bogged. Just come on with me. If you had never heard it taught on, your pastor should be getting to it pretty soon because we're in the book of Revelation. And it's just about to all wind down. But you'll find there a chapter where the Lord is going to seal the 144,000 Jews. When He seals the 144,000 Jews, there are two tribes that are going to be left out. I've always thought it was Ephraim and Manasseh until last week, but that's not true. One of them is Ephraim. Does anybody know what the other one is? Dan. Ephraim and Dan are going to be left out when God seals the 144,000 Jews. Do you know who Ephraim and Manasseh are? You mean to acquaint you with them, do you? Let me acquaint you with them. Dan was the group of people that it was just too hard for them to go to Jerusalem to worship God. It was just too tough. So they went and found them a little, whether they set them up a golden calf, and instead of going back to the city and worshiping and praising and magnifying the name of Jesus, they went to their city and they danced and they shouted and they ran around that golden calf just praising it and worshiping it. And they were left out. The second tribe that's missing is the tribe of Ephraim. And the book of Hosea, Brother Clifford, would you get it for me? I believe it's the 9th chapter and the 15th verse. You can start with the 14th verse, and I want you to take this mic and I want you to read that to these young people as I bring this message to a close tonight, please. Hosea, the 9th chapter, verse 15. That second tribe outside of Dan, is where that's where one of the two golden calves was set up. You go ahead, young people, and set your golden calves. Go ahead. Build it the way you want to build it. But when it comes time for God to seal His church, you're going to be left out. There's a man by the name of Jephthah that made a vow, just like you did last year. He made a vow. He said, I'll sacrifice God. If you'll give the nation of Israel victory, I'll sacrifice the first thing that comes out of my house. He was an illegitimate child. He never had no one that loved him. He had a playboy for a daddy and had a rabble-rouser for a mama. Nobody cared for him. For the first time in his life, he finally had somebody that loved him, and it was his daughter. You know the first thing when he came home from that victory? It wasn't the dog old ship. It wasn't a cow bellowing out in the field. It wasn't a sheep bleating on the roadside. It was the only thing that ever loved him in his life. It was his daughter. You know what Jephthah did? He took his daughter and put her away because he made a vow to God. And he said, if I make a vow to God for the shield, I won't break it. And he put away the only thing that ever loved him in his life. And some of you made vows last year and you ain't made it 1 year. And it's not your daughter. It's just a prayer life you promised God. It's not your daughter. It's just one day a week you promised God. It wasn't your daughter. It was just a soul you promised God. And you're here tonight, much less one a soul. You're not even one. And if the trump of God would sound, it would shock you how many of us would go up tonight. Because Ephraim and Manasseh, oh, with that reed, Brother Clifford, it'll tell you the story. All their wickedness is in Gilgal, for there I hated them. God said, I hate them. I hate every young person in Arkansas that worships idols and calves and don't magnify my name and don't glorify me. Listen to what God said about Ephraim.
There I hated them for the wickedness of their doings. I will drive them out of mine house.
I'm going to drive you. That's why I said tonight, thank you, Brother Clifford, is a night of separation. If you don't get rid of your strange gods, the verse goes on to say, and if you don't become clean, and if you don't change your garments,
is going to drive you out of this place. And when you go out of this youth camp, you're going to go home a different person. Not a shouting, not a talking in tongues, but you're going to be so far from God that if you get through this youth camp and you don't get from God what you're supposed to get from God, I doubt what Brother Coker told you last night. If it's not a physical death, it'll be a spiritual death. I doubt any of you will be back next camp because you'll be so far from God, you won't even know His name and He won't know your name. Tonight, young people, you've got to get back to Bethel. You've got to get back to Bethel. You've got to leave Shechem. You've got to get rid of all strange gods. You've got to clean yourself up. You've got to separate yourself. Let's go back to Bethel. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Brother Clifford, get me a tablet. Because when it's over, they're going to come by after we've prayed about 3 or 4 hours around these altars tonight. They're going to sign this sheet of paper. Think about it. Think about it. I've been disappointed, and I'm not going to allow you to come to this altar tonight to make another vow that you're going to break. You've promised God time after time and service after service of what you're going to do and how you're going to do it. And you haven't kept a vow, and you headed for judgment with a Jephthah. And you're going to have to get on the scales with him. I'm telling you tonight, when I open this altar call, you feel free to kneel where you are. But you people that God got a hold of last year, I'm going to mark you tonight. I want Brother Lumpkin, I want you pastors, when they come around here, I want you pastors to be right by young people in your church. And when they get up, you hear me tonight, we not allow them to come here unless they mean business. You pastors point your finger at this in their face and say, you have made a vow, not to Brother Mangan, not to the Arkansas district, not to me, but you've made a vow to God. Those of you that's got a determination to get back to Bethel. You want His protection. You want His name. You want the memories. You want the promises. You want a prayer life. You say, Brother Mangan, I may never win a soul, but it's not going to be because I don't try and I don't die trying. Brother Mangan, I may never be able to pray beautiful prayers, but it won't be because I don't die trying. But I'm making a vow to you, to this district, to my pastor, and to more than any and all you put together, I'm making a vow to God. I'm going back to Bethel. When I get back to Fort Smith, when I get back to Little Rock, when I get back to Blytheville, when I get back to Hot Springs, when I get back to Texarkana, when I get back to Benton, when I get back to any other spot in Arkansas, West Memphis, wherever, Jonesboro, when I get back there, I'm going to be different. I'm going to be different, Brother Mangan. I'm going to be different. Last year we said it, but it was with our vocal cords. But this year, before I walk down that aisle, I'm bearing my gods in Shechem. And I know I can live for God because I've got His promises. And they are yea and amen. Don't you come. Don't you come. If I've only got three up here, that's fine. Because you can kneel there. I will still love you. You're still probably going to heaven. Everything's probably be great. Don't get shook up. I just want people that's going to help us shape this end time world. I need people. I leaned over to Brother Coker tonight. I said, we've got to make soul winners out of people, or we're going to be left behind. 96 a minute's dying while we're skating on skateboards, and that's fine, that's lovely. But I'm talking about spiritually. 96 a minute's dying. You hadn't even won a soul. The altar's yours if you want to come to. What do you think? Oh, no, this isn't Youth Camp 77. This isn't emotionalism here. Every one of you stop crying. Look up at me if you want to. It don't matter. You can keep looking, staring at me, anything you want to do. I'll come back and hug your neck. Don't you come to this altar unless you're going to fulfill the vows that you've made to God. Sister Mangan, sing, take me back, take me back, take me back, take me back. Okay, we got one. There's one. That's a worth a sermon. Uh-oh. There's two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. Don't you come. Hold it. There we go with that mad rush again. Don't you come unless you're going to Bethel. You better make make sure you got Shechem out of your life. Some of you boys better stay around here all night long.
Take me back to you, Lord.
Oh, God. You better cry, boys. You broke some vows. You girls better cry. You broke some vows. You promised God some things.
Take me back.
The rest of you feel kneel. Feel free to kneel between your pew if you'd like. You kneel between your pew if you'd like to.
To the place where I first.
Don't you come up here unless you mean it. We're going back to Bethel tonight. We're going back to Bethel tonight. We're going back to Bethel tonight. You boys had better weep before God. You girls had better weep before God. You had better weep before God. You made some vows, ladies. You made some vows, men.
Take me back. Take me back, dear Lord. To the place where I first received you. Take me back. Take me back, dear Lord, where I first believed. Take me back.
Could you come look your young people up? I'm serious tonight. Would you come look your young people up for me tonight? Hit them up one by one. They're making some vows. Young people are going to be different. I honestly believe that. Because I can't preach it any harder than I preach it to them tonight. I can't hit them any harder than I hit them tonight.
Back here.